Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Okay. Good morning. And welcome to the house of the Lord. It is a good day when we can gather as God's people. And this day, with all the events of the world, all the terror, all the violence. When I was here this morning, you know, I do Facebook like half of America. I took a picture from the street of the cross of the edifice of the church. It was still in shadow, except for the sunrise that lit up the cross. And so I put on Facebook, you know, as a people who are thankful for our freedom and the ability to gather in God's name, we should take advantage of it. So whether you belong to another faith community or not, get reconnected and re-worship. And if you really are sincere, you're a believer, then participate. This is what and how a nation goes up or goes down. It is by the faith of its people and its willingness to practice, not just say, hey, we got freedoms in America, and do nothing, but the freedom to worship. Separation of church and state, when rightly understood, are good protections when you consider human history. It is good to have those things. So we gather, and so the invitation on Facebook I put on this morning was, come. If you don't have a church home, join us. And then I made the citation that we're on radio, like this second, from our Savior. And if you can't do it this morning, or if you wish to rehear the service, you can go to WPHM, www.wphm.net, and you can get it 24/7. Just testing your Facebook practices. Anybody go on Facebook and see it already? Oh, you're late risers to Facebook. Okay, that's fine. Oh, well. Never got. You're not on Facebook, Beulah, but we're glad you're back.
Well, thank you.
Yes, good to have you. And one other person that we have communicated back and forth across the country, because she's a Canadian, is to welcome back Maria Rompf. And you will see she has sponsored the radio radio broadcast this morning. She and I have been in communication since she was here in March, and her subsequent strokes and hip and all kinds of medical issues for herself. I tried to guide her and her son over there in Sarnia, guided her how to find us on the internet, which she does very well, and where to find us on her cell phone, which is also possible. So the last email transmission, right, Maria?
Maria.
I like it when I interrupt a conversation. And Maria's, our last email, Friday, we kind of said, you said that your son showed you how to get a sharp broadcast for last week's worship service. See, that's what the podcast does. And the radio location. So we got her radio coincide for us when she can't come over from Canada for health reasons. And she can hear us live. Our pre-recorded on podcast. That's how technology should be used. Not the way it does get used, but it is the way it should be used. So those on radio, you're the benefactor of that technology and the long history of our Savior of 78 years broadcasting. We've been on podcast 1 year when the service was available, we grabbed it so that the words can go out and our worship can be witnessed by other people. In fact, I recommend to people who are bashful about coming in an unfamiliar church setting, as newcomers many can be, to say, listen to us on radio. You'll see we're safe. We don't bite, and I think all of us have our shots. So we should be a good situation. So today we celebrate Eucharist, and that's a joyful time in God's people and family, where the body of Christ gathers in the presence of the Father and Son, to which the Spirit communicates to us this precious gift of eternal life. So our worship this day begins with the confession of sin. You'll find it there on your first page. If you're able, please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick, raising the dead, showering us with every good gift. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins and free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to his cross. Jesus says to you and to me, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace. Tell everyone how much God has done for you. Amen. One of the hymns requested by members, which we do hymn sing, hymns selected by members during the 3 months of summer and sometimes beyond, Earth and All Stars. We sing our hymn.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
With the Eucharist this day, how special it is to sing Surely the Presence. The Lord be with you. If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, we shall pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us steadfast in your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you will please be seated, John is our first reader, bringing us God's word.
First reading is from John 18, beginning with verse 1. The Lord visits Abraham and Sarah to tell them that the long-awaited promise of the birth of a child will be fulfilled for them in their old age. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Psalm of the day, Psalm 15. We do our psalms here at Our Savior three different ways, but this week we do it by reading in unison. Okay, so if you'll join me. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may abide upon your holy hill? Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart, they do not slander with the tongue. They do not evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. The word of the Lord. Second reading by Judy.
The second reading comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everybody, everyone, and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. If you're able to rise, we stand for the gospel acclamation. We sing. The gospel text for this day, for some might be more familiar than to others. For me, in preaching for 45 years, it's a familiar one. Boy, its message is powerful and timeless. From Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 38. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as Jesus said and his disciples, they went on their way. He entered a certain village. There were some friends. One was a woman called Martha. She welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus. She listened to what he was saying. Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to come in and help me." Then the Lord answered Martha. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are certainly worried and you are disturbed, distracted by many things. There is a need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which may not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Please be seated. As is our custom, you'll find a sermon outline inside back cover. Those on radio, you can always request our bulletin to follow the service and to have a copy of the sermon outline as we go through this service and for future reference. It's usually my practice to address all three lessons, but today it will be primarily on the gospel text, like last week. But as Luther said, whenever the scriptures are read in a public service of worship, there should be some word spoken to it. The function of a pastor, a preacher, in the context and understanding of the Lutheran faith, is that we carry the word, not because we're better than the people, but we're trained and hopefully in connection to God to do that. Okay? It's not because the others are dumb. It's hopefully somebody is listening to God. So, with that in mind, let me say something about the Old Testament reading from Genesis. This is near the third appearance where the angels come to Abraham. Now, Abraham and Sarai, as their Abram, is the first name they're given. In Genesis, it'll later develop to become Abraham and Sarah from those root words. And in the context, they've been told that they will be parents. Now, approximately the age of Abraham is 97 when the first word came to him. They were childless their whole life. I don't know if you've ever been childless in your life, and many couples are by circumstance or choice. For my wife and I, easily identify with this text because while we wanted children after the first miscarriage, specialists in North Dakota and Indiana said we would not have birth children. And we felt that that was a declaration by humans upon us. Fertility, we took everything. I took female fertility pills. That's how desperate I was. My body didn't change, but it was meant in the technology and medical knowledge of fertility back then that something could be perhaps tried. So we tried it. Nothing happened. That's why the declaration. We proceeded to adopt. So after 7 years of marriage, which we thoroughly enjoyed, I always divide my marriage between BC, before children, AD, after their delivery, because life is never the same. Some people think it's going to be the same. They're wrong. Nay, nay, nay. It will not be. They're your kids for your life, for better, for worse. So, given that, when we were told we were going to have a child and Cheryl was pregnant, we gave up on birth control, fertility, everything. It's like, she can't be pregnant. We just adopt him. Oh, Lord, you heard our prayers, but the timing was not our way, and I'm sure it wasn't Abraham's way, because it took 3 more years before this text arises. And says, this year, Abraham, you will have that child. Your child will be special because you're going to be blessed. I told you this 3 years ago. You went ahead and had relationships with a slave woman who is, in common wisdom, associated as the father of Arab people. He did what he should not have done. Then he came back and was told, this year you're going to have your own birth child to Sarah, like I told you in the beginning. So, it came to pass. God says it, it will happen. God doesn't make idle promises. He who promises is mighty enough to fulfill them. Okay? And if I was Baptist, I'd probably say amen. It's just a fact. Abraham learned God is faithful. And he would fulfill a promise for all history to eternity as the father of the faith. Okay? Second text, beautiful text, the Apostle Paul. It's a unique text because he is so bold at this stage in his life and faith. He probably wouldn't have said it early in his ministry. But he's gone through a lot, and he has seen the power of the Christ in his life. So he writes to the church. He says, I want you to know the fullness of God. Nothing was left out of that. Dwelt in human form in Jesus Christ. Have no doubt, Church of Christ, who Jesus is. And I want you to know my ministry and what I teach you, and I feel the same, is because this is the word of the Lord, and it is true, and you can bank on it. It's not a fabrication of somebody wanting to mislead us, to take us down a path of falsehood. It is based upon truisms that God was in Jesus Christ. I think that's worthy of an amen. God has visited his people. And then he says in the second reading, he says, you and I have a unique relationship because Christ was God and was here and gave his life. What's that? Forgiveness of all your sins. You hear it in the Lutheran liturgy every Sunday. Luther's concern and why the service of liturgy for Lutherans is designed the way it is that when we have made a confession to God, nobody should walk away ever wondering, did God hear the request? But we should hear the word of absolution. God, in fact, and as Luther in the Office of the Keys, Part 6, Small Catechism says, when the church was empowered by Christ to forgive the sins of any or to retain the sins of any, he gave it to the church. I am merely an agent. I'm not forgiving you.
Here's a look at your local area news. The Boswell will be sailing away.
Forgiving you. You look at other churches' liturgies, other faith communities. The pastor, because I've been a Presbyterian minister too, the pastor does not speak in absolution. You can walk away from here knowing you're forgiven. They have a prayer saying, God, if you would in your kindness and grace, forgive us. That's still up for grabs. Is he going to be kind? Is he going to be graceful? We know he is, because in Jesus Christ, the fullness of God dwelt. And he came to forgive sinners. And like Paul writes, and I'm the chief, the worst of the offenders. But he came to even forgive me, one who persecuted the church. Yeah. Those behind us. Go to the gospel text. Might be familiar. I think the Good Samaritan last week is probably one of the most familiar parables. But this one is not a parable. This is a life story. He's invited to the house. We find out later in the biblical material that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus become the inner circle to Jesus outside the 12 disciples. You know the story. One brother, Lazarus, dies. Jesus goes to raise him from the dead. They're not just casual. He's not a stranger. They are personal friends. Okay? So he's in their house. Martha, she took the initiative. In my mind, because I believe in birth order, she's the firstborn. You know firstborns. And if you're one of them, God's grace and forgiveness. But I sure see Mary as a lastborn. You know how lastborns can get distracted? They see something else they're more interested in. They go there, forgetting about responsibility. I raised the lastborn. I myself was the lastborn until the Lord turned me around. In the whole thing of this drama, he's welcomed in. Martha wants to be part of the insider. She wants to be a friend. Wouldn't you want to be there? Jesus, who's gone around preaching and teaching the kingdom of God? I don't know why or who he is, but I want to hear. She's in the kitchen. How many of you would be in the kitchen? None of you? Come on, this is interactive sermons. Okay. Are you firstborn? You're not a firstborn. Many firstborns would say, absolutely, that's my duty, right? I'm to be the hostess with the mostess. Martha wants to be too. She wants to take care of the guests. She wants to do what is right, sociable. She's not thinking of the Word of God or what message he came to share with them. She's about doing the duty, right? I know what it's like to work in the kitchen here at Our Savior because I fed over 120,000 meals. And there are times I just want to hide in the kitchen and not be on the floor with people. But eventually, you have to come out. Well, Martha's not coming out. She wants Mary to come in. Jesus, set her right. Ever try to justify your position by asking another authority to make the other person do it? You guilty of that too? I do it. Try to appeal to another authority, Jesus. And Jesus puts her right between the eyes. So much for friendship, right? Truth is more important. He says, Martha, Martha, there are many things you're concerned about. In fact, you're worrying about them. I want you to take a moment and reflect what's going on here by my being in your house. I didn't come for a meal. I came to bring the word to you too. While I am still among you, before I am taken from you. But I'm here, and this is the moment. This is the time. So no, Martha, I'm not giving you what you want. But I am offering to you the opportunity to make another selection, which will be a better selection. Mary has chosen it. Come, sit with me. So often in Scripture, when Jesus puts those kind of confrontational, some would call, statements before people like the rich man, well, I've done everything right, remember the text? Well, then who's your neighbor? And then he tells this story last week of the Good Samaritan. So Jesus, in effect, is saying to Martha, here's your choice. Continue down your path with your distractions in your life while I am among you, or choose now who you will serve. Now you may say to yourself, that's a nice story, and Jesus made his point, but do you realize the point was for us? You and I are inundated with so many choices, right? Evan Toffler, in the 70s, I know I go back in history, but you got to understand where we are today is based upon what happened for the last 5-10 decades. Okay? Toffler wrote a book in the 70s called Future Shock. Any of you read it? Oh my goodness. Go back to it. Google it. I remember reading it several times over my ministry because he predicted by the year 2000, America was going to be a basket case. He said, we are being consulted and assaulted by so many choices. We can't make choices that are the right choices because we have to make so many choices. We get lost in the flood. He was right. I was assaulted. Verbally. The gal behind the counter at the deli at Kroger's. God gives me little evidences during the week about my sermons. I was just going in to order luncheon meat and cheese. I was going to order Swiss cheese. I thought that was a pretty straight request. She said, is that going to be baby Swiss or large whole? I thought, oh Lord, this world is ridiculous. Why do I have to make a decision? Don't we people get frustrated and tired, exhausted by people asking us to make more decisions? So when Christ, church, or God makes a request of us, it's like, put it in the back. I got other things important that are pending I got to deal with. I don't need to deal with Swiss cheese, baby, or big hole. When that happened, I just said, oh, Lord, this is a God moment. This is what America has become. This is future shock 16 years later. Decisions, decisions, decisions. What's the risk and what is happening? You gotta diagnose the problem or you'll never get to a solution. In the forest of choices, we cannot see God. We have either done it intentionally or just because we have attention deficit. And we'll use anything for an excuse. Why, I'm too busy. I don't have time for church. Oh, so you read your Bibles daily? Are you on a disciplined way of growing in your faith? Oh, no, I'm busy. Okay. Do you take time to seek out ways to grow in your evenings when you're not working? Oh, no, I'm busy. VeggieTales, who I love. Children's animation telling Bible story messages. Approximately 15 years ago, one of their presentations and songs, I'm not going to sing it for you. Nobody will listen to us again. But the way the lyrics goes, as the vegetables sing it, is, I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm terribly busy. And believe me, you talk to our kids. They're so busy. I'm bored. I'm busy. I'm bored. I'm busy. Well, what is it? It's overload. Visual, audible, overstimulation by so many choices. Alan Toff was a prophet. He told us what we would become, and we did. So what does it say about the Word of God? Quite a bit. The reality is it wasn't easier in Mary and Martha's day. You can't complain, it's the 21st century, get with it. No. We would say, as our generation, looking on the culture of their day, boy, they had it easy. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, you eat, you drink, you might have a job in your house, and you go to sleep at sundown. That's pretty easy. Tradition ruled most things. You didn't have to think. You just did the tradition. If you've seen Fiddler on the Roof, you know what I'm speaking of. Then it still wasn't that clear. Even if there was only one or two trees in their forest, where we've got thousands to try to discern where God is, Martha still couldn't see God. She didn't appreciate who Jesus was. And I dare say America's growing in that attitude. And that's what scares me. Because it's predictable, it's prophetic, and it's reoccurring. When the people of God reject their guide, destruction will come to them. It's regretful. And we who proclaim to be the blessed may watch the blessing pass to another people. Then what will we do, America? Because we didn't hear the call. We chose to be so busy, so very busy. We got lost in the blind of the trees. When all the time God says, there's only one thing that matters. Isn't that what Jesus said? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? If so, you have to believe his words. She has chosen the better thing. Martha, you'd be smart if you did too. We need to choose the better things. We need to navigate our lives through this course, knowing that God's word is still relevant today, if not more so than any other day. He has told us what the end times would look like. We cannot plead ignorance. He has told us that people will fall away from the faith and the love that they once had for God. 2,000 years ago, is he describing us? And then judgment comes, still to be determined. As Rabbi Jonathan in our study of the Harbingers, go back to that. This fall, I'll offer that class again because there are updates. If you understand or asking why in the heck is this world seeming like crazy, why do these things happen, come to the class. God has given us harbingers. These are signs, harbingers, that God has given us since 9/11, that judgment is at our door. Not Turkey, not Israel, America's door. We would be wise to hear the word of the Lord, not just say it. We should be wise to be disciples. You know what the word disciple is, right? One who is a learner. Jesus in the Gospel of John says, and it's a text for every Confirmation Sunday, you are truly my disciples if you continue in my word. Do you continue in God's word? Or are you going on your word, culture's word, the fear and anxiety of this world, the emotions and feelings out there prevailing? Or are you grounded in the word of God? May God help us make good choices in the midst of so many choices that elevate once again, if ever, God's word above all the other words. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our worship continues as we sing our hymn of the day, Those Who Dwell in the Shelter on Eagle's Wings.
Thank you.
this point in the Lutheran service, we do the offering. Luther was very clear 500 years ago, this is not just a gathering of the money. It was an act of worship. Some churches, in their practices, they put offering cups or plates, bowls, in the back. It's not part of the service. Lutheran liturgy is part of the worship. The reason is, this is what we do to respond to God's word. We don't have altar calls, as some denominations do. This is a response of love to support the ministry Christ has given us. And so we do. By announcements, you'll see both in the bulletin as well as in the now insert that this week starts the first of two special ministries. First in the history of our Savior and first in the history of Grace Episcopal. We will do a joint denominational study for youth and adults. The arts camp of this week begins, as we've been telling you, for 4 months. The youth worker, Tracy, over at Grace Episcopal is working with Faith, our family life director, for 5 months to bring this week to culmination. We need youth. This is not to be an exercise in adults planning. It is to be a ministry benefiting children. So it's open to everybody. Its site will be over at Grace Episcopal. Neither of our congregations have ever dared to do this. We will this year. Then to reciprocate, in August, we will come back to our Savior. I will cook meals. We will take over and we will have Grace Episcopal with us. Again, a first for both of us. And may God bless it. And I hope this week you'll remember the kids and the ministry as a gift to God and pray for its success, not in numbers, but in faith development and our children, okay? And don't forget, in Vacation Bible School, I teach an adult class, Lydia, the priest at Grace, will join me. You will have two clergy of two different denominations leading an adult class. I dare you to find that anywhere. So please come. That's why we do these things, to study the Word of God, okay? So that's coming up in August. We also have many other things taking place in the run of the mill. If you came in to the sanctuary, those in-house, and if you came in through the 6th Street door or even the glass doors on Wall Street, you have walked upon new walks. You may not see so because they look like the same old ones. The trustees have been working on this for over a month. It was culminated this last week with a full day of labor with their support and the contractor. They have raised the irregular sidewalks that have been here for 86 years. They are now level. Praise God. I have seen people trip on that irregularity. For decades, we painted it yellow to warn. Now it's level. How's that? God can split waters, do all kinds of miraculous things, and through people, he can level the ground. He's a good guy. Many other things, read them carefully. Our gifts are presented for the work of the kingdom. Please rise. We sing our offertory. Thank you.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
Amen.
Rooted in Christ and rising to serve, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. You open the doors of your church, Lord, to all who feel distant or estranged. Give us courage to share your good news through conversation and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Cultivate in all people a care for the world you have made. Make us mindful of our impact on creation for the good of our neighbor and future generations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reconcile and bring peace to communities that suffer. Raise up and strengthen leaders and organizations that promote dialogue, hospitality, and restoration. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Open our eyes to see those suffering any affliction, even ourselves. Open our lips to boldly beg relief in body or spirit for all in need. Today we pray for Roger Taylor, Heather Bryson, Ina Hooven, Trish Lascott, Dave Turner, John Povlez, Mike Forbes, Carol Weaver, Andrew Marino, Jim Fisher, Marty Lepak, Joe Mazar. We also pray for our homebound, Helen Beach, Pauline Baker, and Kathy Dane, and those serving our nation and returning safely from their services overseas, and those returning into our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bless and keep safe campers, counselors, and families who experience the gift of outdoor ministry at camps this summer. Continue transforming them in Christ once they are safely home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Comfort your children with the trust that your words is stronger than death. We remember saints and loved ones who have died and rest in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting your promise to hear us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine. He blessed it, gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you, but also for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." So gathered into one by his Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ invites you to a place of honor at a banquet he has set for us. So come to the feast. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is our custom and tradition. We sing during the distribution, so please do, but you'll be guided to come forward for sacrament.
Thank you.
listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.